Today's interview is with Jenny Waters, a certified nutrition and habit coach. And it was such a pleasure talking to Jenny. She is so knowledgeable, and she is a perfect example of how lived experiences can lead us in a completely new direction. So she had an experience, really actually two, that converged simultaneously and really jolted her into a new, whole new direction in life, which was very difficult initially, but she learned a lot in the process. And what I love about her story too is that she's a great example of that when we get to midlife, things can just start. We don't know where we're headed. And tomorrow something can happen to you. And although it might be hard, it can totally help you learn something brand new. And maybe at some point, something that you can teach other people and help other people with. So her story is that exactly. And so she's very knowledgeable, and she might inspire you in some way to also change your diet, because she talks about how some of the nutrition changes that she made in her life, in her family, made a drastic difference health-wise. Enough to like actually cancel her doctor and a lot of medicines that her husband was on, and really were great examples for her children as well on how they can be advocates for their own health. And so, yeah, listen in and see what you can learn from Jenny. All right.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today, my guest is Jenny Waters. And I'm excited to talk to Jenny today. She is a certified nutrition and habit coach. And so we have lots to talk about. She lives in Texas. You can tell her accent. I love her accent. I have cousins that live in Texas, so she sounds like them. But so welcome to the program, Jenny.
Thank you. Yes, my Texas accent definitely shines through.
Yes. So, yeah. So tell me how you got into your work, because it's very interesting. We Jenny and I hadn't met until just a few minutes ago. And I like to talk to my guests before we hit record. And so she had an experience that kind of pivoted her life with her husband getting sick. And he got like the triple whammy. So I'm going to let her introduce that story, which kind of took her in a new direction. So you want to go ahead and share that?
I will. So I had just turned 46. It was December of 2016. And my dad, who had been very active, like volunteering, doing all the stuff, all of a sudden I got a call on a Friday that he was at the emergency room and was admitted to the hospital. That same very day, my husband was at the rheumatologist getting the diagnosis that he had rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and lupus. So my dad ended up dying 10 days later. And then my husband Brady got on all the medicines to suppress his immune system. And of course, it came with a whole lot of supplements to counteract the side effects of that. But it was like I was dealing with the grief of my dad, and also dealing with the grief that our life was just a whole lot different than I thought.
Yeah.
Our, our youngest daughter was in high school.
Yeah, you take your health for granted and your partner. And when they're sick, you become a caregiver.
Yes. And so, so I'm looking to ahead. My youngest daughter's like, I think she's a sophomore in high school. The other two are already off in college. And I'm like, empty nest is going to look a whole lot different than I had dreamed of if we don't do something. Mm. And my husband's chemotherapy drug, methotrexate, was what they gave him for rheumatoid. It helped a little bit, but like the pain in his joints was still bad. He was so exhausted all the time. The weekends, he basically just slept and didn't remember anything. We'd have conversations and I'm like, oh yeah, I told you that on Sunday. Let me tell you again, because you don't remember it.
Yeah. How do you not think that it might be dementia or Alzheimer's?
I mean,
maybe that was in the documentation. I don't know. I would be scared. Yes,
they call it chemo brain. And it was not like the high dose chemo that you get for cancer treatment, but it definitely makes you have this really big brain fog. And so we run our own business as well. And so it was all he could do to just get through the day and then come home and sit in the recliner until it was time for him to try to sleep. And this was just not what I had envisioned. And I just knew there had to be a better way.
Now, I assume he was super active. What did you guys do? Like, what was your life like before he got sick?
Yeah.
How did your dad die? What did he die?
My dad died of, basically, he had a blood issue and a heart issue, and he did the things that both doctors told him to, but their advice was conflicting. And it kind of ended up in a catastrophic way. So that's when, and he was like a rule follower trying to do stuff, and it just didn't turn out well because different doctors had different plans and it kind of counteracted each other and caused problems.
And was he still in the 60s?
Or he was 76.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But
I mean, it's
he
funny.
He was walking on the treadmill every day, ushering at church. He was doing all the things.
Yeah. When they're active and vital and there's no sign of illness, you know, it's still too soon. It's so sudden.
My dad died
at 72, like boom, like that with a brain hemorrhage. And it was like, what?
Yeah, he'd been to all these Christmas parties right leading up to it. Mm. And then all of a sudden, so we just thought, oh, this is just, he got too exhausted. Mm-hmm. And then it just trickled into this. And it was crazy. But back to your question, Brady thought instead of rheumatoid arthritis, he'd been an athlete. So he thought the injuries and all that was the reason why he was, you know, having aches and pains. And so I was youth director of our girls' youth group at church. So we were constantly doing stuff with teenagers and, you know, zip lining, doing all that stuff. But slowly but surely, Brady just couldn't do that as much. And everything was hurting. And like it got so bad that shaking hands hurt. I mean, like he's not a crier. But like, he's like, I almost cried when people would shake my hand because his thumb just like shot pain through his arm. And it was like, okay, he couldn't ignore it anymore. And that's what led him to the rheumatologist. His mother also has rheumatoid arthritis. So he kind of had a clue.
So is that genetic?
Yes, it's genetic, but there's things you can do to prevent it.
Okay. Because when we were talking, you said these are really autoimmune diseases. And so can you talk about that a little bit? We were talking because I had chronic fatigue syndrome when I was in my 20s. And it's something that you really, first of all, if you can have a normal life and recover from that, it's pretty much a miracle. So I thank
a doctor
that I had for doing an experimental treatment on me. But you also have to be very careful to what you do to that could harm you again. Or like, I am so careful, vitamin C every single day, you know, of my life.
Yes. But
you have to, you know, take supplements and do things that you try to stay active and healthy.
Yes. Autoimmune is when your body's immune system goes on hyper mode. Something has aggravated it, stimulated it so that it like gets tired. It's like, you know, fighting off stuff constantly, and it gets tired and then starts attacking your body tissue that looks similar to whatever else it was fighting. And so then your body's hurting itself, and that's what that autoimmune is. And so you always have to be careful with your immune system. You don't want to overdo vitamin C, because that also, you don't want to overstimulate your immune system, but you have to manage your sleep, your stress.
Sleep, food, yes.
Food mm-hmm. has a big part of it. And then mm-hmm. exercise as well. It's the four pillars of health, basically, that are come into play to kind of keep your immune system at the normal rate, so it's not attacking your body.
Yeah. And why do some people fall victim and others don't? Is they might have genetic predisposition for it?
Sometimes, but lifestyle factors are what okay. turn that gene on.
Yeah.
That gene.
I had a lot of stress. I was a young mom.
Yes.
I had just gone back to the corporate workforce. My husband was a police officer, and he worked, and he
was
actually,
a lot of stress.
Yeah. And he, you know what he was doing? He was working on a case of a serial killer at the time. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't even think about that until now. That was all converging at the same time. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So mm-hmm. your body's in fight or flight mode the whole time.
Yeah.
And so then it's like trying to help you, but then it ends up just attacking your tissues and throwing you out of balance.
Yeah. Yeah. I had mono 3 times.
And so, having mono puts you as a predisposition for.
Yeah. Autism. Yeah. And I was told, it's funny, there's this fallacy that people think that you can't have mono more than once. And so it was so funny, because the third time I got diagnosed with it, it was a different doctor, because it had been, you know, I think 18 was my first one. And then when I was pregnant with my first daughter, and I had her, I was diagnosed with mono.
Oh,
and
goodness.
She, as a baby infant, I gave her mono. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah. So the third doctor was a different doctor, but it was so funny, because he said, has anybody ever told you couldn't get mono again? And I was like, yeah. And he said, well, they were full of shit. And I was like, I like this doctor.
Yes.
He says it straight, but
yes.
Yeah. So you worked in your church.
Yes.
And what did you say your husband did?
Well, we owned our own business.
Oh, okay.
We're one of those that's like constantly going, especially when our girls were in high school and stuff. We own our own business. He was a part-time pastor at the church for a while, and I was the youth director. So, and then our girls were very involved in a lot of stuff. So we were not home much. We're on the go a lot until things started going downhill.
Yeah. So, but you weren't focused. I mean, you're now certified as a nutrition coach, and
yes.
And you also specialize in habits. So I want to talk about that. So this whole experience led you, I guess you were his advocate. You became his advocate, and you started to research, because who wants to research when they don't feel good? So
well,
good.
Right. He was just, all he could do was do what the doctor told him to take the medicine, just get through the day. And like my husband does not like diets or being told what to do. So I was like, I bet that doctor is telling him to eat differently or to exercise. I was like trying to get him to walk with me. So I went to the appointment with him, and she said to my face, no, diet and exercise have no part of this. You only can take the medicine. That's the only thing. And my clients, that's the only thing they has worked, but we'll have to keep changing that because it doesn't always work. And I knew in my gut that was not right. And so I went into hyper research mode and begged him, guilted him, told him, like, you can, if you can figure this out for our girls, that they don't have to suffer like this. So he did the anti-inflammatory diet. I helped him through it. And with it, I prayed a ton, and the girls did too, that results would come quickly, because he was not staying on it if he didn't see something. And within a week, his socks didn't fit, because his ankles just, the inflammation went down so fast. I wish we had taken a picture. And then within 2 weeks, he was feeling differently. And like in like the first month, he lost 30 pounds of inflammation. I mean, it was like in his face, in his neck, you know, and just the energy started coming back. And after a whole year of just staying on this nutrition, you know, really focusing on nutrition, no exercise, just dialing in on keeping his stress lower and fixing his nutrition, we got to fire that rheumatologist, get off of those medicines, and he figured it out. He was able to drop 50 pills every week that he was taking. And in our family, we always talk about before that diet change and after, because it altered our whole lives.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that you are a faithful person. So, yes. You know, and I am so much an advocate of that people, their life, their lived experiences are really the path that they have to walk in order to get the experience to help the people they're supposed to help. And so it sounds like you've walked that path very painfully, but yet here you are and you have all this knowledge.
Yeah. And so that's why I became a coach, is because, you know, you've heard the phrase success leaves clues. I like to say hope leaves clues. And luckily I got hope from a lot of different sources of ways to change, to give Brady his life back. Mm. And I feel a strong calling to do the same for others. I want to give them the hope that even though the doctor says this is a lifetime condition, there's nothing you can do but drugs, I'm going to give you hope that there's a different way. You don't have to settle for that declining health, declining energy, joint pain that everyone thinks is just because we're getting older. A lot of it has to do with inflammation and your lifestyle habits that you can change.
Yeah. Well, clearly it started working for him because he wouldn't have kept doing it, right?
So
you did take a picture, but yet he would have stayed doing what he was doing before if it hadn't worked. So that's testimony in and of itself. So how does the habit piece fit into this? And I love the fact that you say you're a habit coach, because so many people get stuck in their old habits, and it's a really hard thing for people to change. And so the fact that you can help them with that, you have a little bit of expertise there. I think, what can you tell the listeners that?
Yeah. So I got my degree in engineering. So I love processes and trying to figure out how to make things easier. So I've always been obsessed about habits. And with Brady's dietary changes, I was there to kind of be his advocate. But most people don't have that, you know, person right there. So I figured out ways to make simple habit change that like you gradually make, and how to train your brain to keep going so that you don't have to white knuckle it and like try to use willpower to do it. You use a lot of different methods to reward yourself for not the breaching the goals, but following through, because habits are about consistency. And as you keep doing it, it goes on autopilot because your brain likes things to be easy. And once that's in autopilot mode, then you can make the next change. But you got to start small first, or you get overwhelmed and quit.
Yeah, I love that switch of perception with, because what just came to me is, when you're saying it needs to be easy, is that our habits might not be good,
right?
But it's because they're on autopilot that we do them. You know, it's not because we want to be bad. It's because we just do them because we don't have to think about it.
Right.
And changing to new habits is just, it's a big adjustment to,
right.
We have to process that. We have to think about it. And thinking about it, sometimes we just don't want to think about it. So we beat ourselves up because, it's so hard to break an old habit, but it's just the way we're kind of like built.
Exactly. And we tend to make it a personality default.
Yes.
Instead, it's just the way you've already taught your brain how to do it this way. So it just falls back to that. So you have to reteach how do you want the new way. And it does take some intention, But with that intention, it continues to get easier. And I think it's by 67 days, it's in there automated. And then that small habit, then you can, it's time to make it a little better. And you just keep making improvements so that you never feel like, you know, that's why I think diets fails, because we're trying to do it all at once, all in this short amount of time. And your brain just wants to go back to the way it was.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit it on the head when you started. As you said, it's so focused on the long-term goal. And when you don't get there soon enough, you just feel like a failure. So, and I think that the whole, like having a support system, people just don't realize the importance of it. And most people who succeed have, no matter in what, whatever, whether it's health I had somebody on who is a children's book author, and she wanted to write a book, and she had a manuscript for like 10 years. And it wasn't until she got into a Facebook group with other authors that inspired her, that she had to show up for, you know, and that got her book published. And so it just is so important to have a support system that keeps you consistent.
Right.
It keeps you going back every day.
And also that's important to think about too, because like in families, you'll see like if everyone has bad eating habits, it's really hard to be the one that doesn't. And so you've got to find people in your life that are maybe a little ahead of you on the health journey, that aren't going to make you feel guilty for ordering a salad when you need to, or they're not going to like guilt you into, that's okay, just have another drink and get the chips and queso, worry about your diet tomorrow. You know, if you're around people that are constantly helping you by, you know, sabotaging your habits, then you're not going to succeed. But you got to find someone that's like, you know, helping you stay, keeping your promise to yourself that you deserve better. You deserve to feel better and to stick through the tough part of building that habit so that it becomes more natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that I found in my coaching is that, you know, I work a lot on identities and like really doing a lot of work on what roles we play in life and the behaviors of those roles that we play, and how we might want, how our goals align with those roles or those identities, and they might not be aligned. So what is the new identity that, and what are those behaviors? And when you look at it, because so many people they think that they can't change their identity. And you can, you know, because that has nothing to do with who you are inside. It's just kind of the behaviors they're employing, and anybody, you know, can change your behaviors. And so when it comes to health and fitness, you know, it's like, well, I'll always be overweight. Or I just eat bad. Or I'm Italian and I like, you know,
my family is all built this way. Yeah,
exactly. I hate that one. We're all big boned, you know? I know big bone people who don't carry a lot of extra weight, but anyways, So, I mean, my wrists are pretty big and wide, but anyways, yeah. And so it's kind of like, okay, what is it about, what identity are you carrying that's keeping you stuck in these behaviors? And so that it helps really free people, because they can pick whatever identity they want and step into
that. And midlife is a perfect time to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
We had to go gluten-free as part of our dietary changes. And once we identified we're just gluten-free eaters, then it was never a struggle of, do I eat it or not? It was just, that was part of our identity, and it became a no-brainer habit. So creating that identity ahead of time, and just like, I ask my clients all the time, what kind of person do you want to be? And if, you know, that healthy, vibrant, empty nester, how would that person act? Let's act like that. So let's become that identity that you're working towards.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do it too. Yeah. Yeah. And that can be fun too.
Yeah.
I mean, you can come up with this persona, and it just like, feel like, you know, we all need to step into that and be a little, and Beyonce has one. She calls herself Sasha Fierce. So when she goes on stage, you think, oh, she can do it all. She doesn't need to have any persona. Well, no, even Beyonce needs a persona to step into to be her best self on stage. So, yeah, so that's kind of cool. So, yeah, so when you say you're a certified nutrition coach, are you somebody who shares recipes, or what does that look like and how you help people?
I help people, like a lot of times they'll come to me sometimes with inflammation problems, and we start looking at like matching symptoms and what food they're eating. So that a lot of times we have food sensitivities that you never knew about. So yes, you can have allergies. That's a different thing, but like something is triggering this inflammation, and gut health has a lot to do with it. So we like try to narrow down, everyone's different, what their triggers are, what is causing that bloating, what's causing the joint pain, the exhaustion, whatever it is. And I help them fine tune the way they eat with their, you know, the way they like to eat. You know, I'm not going to make it, if you hate broccoli, I'm not going to tell you to eat broccoli because it's not going to last, but learning to
just put a lot of butter on it.
I do love to cook. So I love I do have recipes that I give them, but helping them, empowering them to come up with a more real food diet so that they're eating foods. And once you break up with the processed foods, real food just tastes a lot better than you realize.
Yeah.
So I work through those nutrition, and there's a lot of self-talk that comes along with it that we've carried through probably childhood.
Yeah.
That we have to fight through too.
So do you do it by process of elimination? Are there like hot, highly inflammatory foods? I know that
there are, and some people do well to take them all out at once. Some people need to do it one at a time. Just depends on their, I don't know, habit control and what habits they already have in place. Whether they need to go slow and not trigger any like eating disorders. But so that I'll tell you the top inflammatory foods that a lot of people would have trouble with, and taking them out, just to experiment and see how you do. Gluten, of course, is one, and that's wheat, rye, and barley. And it's in so much processed foods. You'll see that wheat has to be listed as an allergen.
And it's in a lot of bread.
It is.
So it's hard to go without it. At first it is.
And then you learn that there's a lot of foods that are available to you that didn't have it. And then dairy, cow dairy is mainly meant for baby cows, not us.
Yeah.
So even if you thought you weren't lactose intolerant, you might have some inflammation issues attached to dairy. So, I mean, there's alternate milks that can easily be replaced, and I help them find that. And then sugar. Let's talk sugar. We're all getting way more sugar than we need. And then just looking at added sugar on any product, you're going to see that there's sugar in salad dressing, to tomato sauce, to anything you buy. Watching that sugar, that also can really trigger some inflammation. And then
what about stevia as a substitute?
Stevia is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. But the added sugar, well, you'll see, and you only are supposed to have 25 grams a day. Most of us get a lot more if you're not really paying attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's in a lot of stuff. Like it's in wine. You mentioned salad dressings. One thing that I found is it's super easy to make your own salad dressings that are very yummy.
Yes. So they don't need that extra stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. In fact, I just made some last night that honey, it's Dijon mustard, the apple cider, vinegar,
and olive oil.
And some crushed garlic and salt and pepper.
I have made that same salad dressing.
Good. I mean, it's so simple. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then you go into soy and corn, which are very heavily pesticide and GMO. And a lot of us have problems with that you might not even realize. And then eggs can be great for you, or you could be intolerant to them. And until you take them out and then put them back in, you're not going to necessarily know that. And alcohol is a toxin and can cause inflammation. So you have to have that in moderation, but just trying to figure out what your body responds to the best.
Yeah. And I would say, like, don't do it for a week and see how you feel.
Yeah.
You know? And one of the things that that I was curious about how you feel about that, this is I've read that, first of all, the older we get, when we were younger, we could have eaten foods that we were intolerant to that maybe were inflamed us, but we rebounded really quickly because our bodies were younger. Yes. And the older we get, plus the longer we're exposing our bodies to those foods that inflame us. But one of the things they say is you should not eat the same thing over and over again.
Right.
That you should change it up.
A
but a lot of people like have these habits of eating like the same thing every single day. So how do you get people to kind of, do you agree that having a variety is something people should do?
In the beginning, when you're first trying to make a dietary change, you need to, you know, it be boring and get in that rut just to get over the hump. And then you do need to add variety because food's meant to be enjoyed and having different things to taste is good. But also just think about our ancestors. They ate seasonally. So they ate what was in season.
Yeah.
And God designed our bodies to have that variety, you know, to store up in the winter and to eat fresh, you know, fruits and vegetables that are so predominant in the summertime. You're supposed to have a change in your diet as the year goes on. So that gives you the variety.
Oh, I love that, relating that back to, you know, when we didn't have grocery stores on every corner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and then they stored up and ate what was available in the winter. And so you're meant to go through those seasons and changing up what you eat. So getting in a rut, I mean, obviously a lot of people are in a rut of drive-through food, but still just like changing it up and trying new vegetables occasionally. Mm. I'm a recovering picky eater from childhood. And so the more you discover new ways to cook different vegetables or just trying new things kind of brings some excitement that doesn't feel like a diet, you know, as we've
come to think. I did not eat a vegetable until I think I was 18. Except maybe onion. I love onion, but I can eat onion in any way, shape, or form. But you know how I started eating? My first vegetable was green beans. And I would only eat them when they were smothered with gravy at Thanksgiving. That's how I started. Like, oh, I can eat these with gravy on them. That's great. Yeah.
As long as you keep improving that habit, that's starting where you can.
Yeah. And I started with the French style because they were really thin. They weren't, you know, like really thick.
Yes.
But yeah. But now I love it. Broccoli and zucchini and squash. I mean, I'm a pretty.
Once I figured out how to roast vegetables, that's when I because I like a more crunchy. And I'm still not a green bean lover, so I'm not going to eat green beans. But
I like the country kind with the bacon and, you know, but I don't. And they kind of melt in your mouth. My daughter taught me, I would have never thought of this, but she eats raw green beans. You know, they have in the bag now.
Oh,
you get them. She dips it in hummus and eats. And they're crunchy and so good. I would have never thought that as a vegetable to like dip.
Yeah, I use red peppers for that, for hummus.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been so good to talk to you. It's so interesting. It sounds like you help. It must be very rewarding for you.
Oh, I love it when they figure out, okay, how to just change their diet and get their energy back. And things that they thought were going to be lifetime chronic problems start to get better. It's really exciting to see.
And how's your husband doing?
He's doing great.
Oh,
he hadn't had to go back on that medicine. It's been 5 years and he still appreciates being able to shake a hand without hurting. We play a lot of cards at night so he can shuffle without hurting his hands.
He can hands without crying.
Yes. And we go on vacation, we hike, and we still appreciate that he can get there and do it without being exhausted. It's your health is such a blessing. And when you don't have it, life is harder.
Yeah. And as a mom, how have what you have done with your husband, like stepping in there and being his advocate and not accepting what the doctors were telling you and knowing that, you know, you could figure this out or hoping, yes. having hope, how has that impacted your daughters? Have any of them, you know, shared with you?
Well, they've all changed their eating too, but my youngest daughter, we actually found her diagnosis through this. She had been to the dermatologist for years, eczema. They love to throw that out. And it turns out she'd had celiac this whole time. And when we went off gluten, she didn't go with us the first time because she's a teenager. And then I was like, just try it. Just try. Daddy had great results. Maybe you can just try. And the whole time, you know, she's an angry teenager, like, all my friends are eating this other stuff. This isn't working. And she went off of it for a month and then went back to school. She was in drill team and they had the Chick-fil-A lunches. And she came downstairs and she goes, gluten is not good for me. And she had done the research. She'd found her autoimmune. She had a skin condition too. And she's celiac. And now we've gotten all fixed. She's feeling great. My other two daughters, I'm determined that they're going to not have that genetic turn on of rheumatoid arthritis. And they coach their friends how to make changes.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, my husband has had eczema ever since he was an infant. And I know it's related to gluten and possibly, you know, what's the stuff in beer, which he loves beer. And
there's gluten in beer.
Oh, gluten in beer. Okay. But yeah, you know, he makes those sacrifices and he's like, you know, it's not like disabling him or anything, but I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so stubborn. Yes. Maybe I need you to talk to him because he won't listen to me. Your husband was stubborn, but he listened to you. Mine, I will like, no way.
There's a reason I coach women instead of men. They're a little more stubborn, it seems.
Well, my husband was a bachelor until he's 52. So he is a little bit more hard to, to get any advice. Yeah. All right. So let's wrap up. I love to end with, and I haven't asked this question of a guest for a little while, but when you think of living a not your average life, what does that mean to you?
Let's see. What does that mean to me? That means eating like most people don't so that I can live like most people don't. Ooh. I am going to be, I had a great aunt that lived to 98. She did water slides in her 70s, won medals for line dancing in her 80s. I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be that, like you're said, not your average grandma. I'm going to be that not your average grandma.
Yeah.
I'm going to be active with my grandkids that I don't even have yet, but that is my goal.
Don't you want that for them to like grow and know that that's their future?
Yes, I want to be that example for my daughters, that how to live healthy into my 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. Yeah. I was just with my grandkids and I don't think they think of me as like I thought of my grandmother at all.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun.
Get out on the floor and do Legos and TikToks with them. I loved your TikToks with them. You know,
yeah, it was fun picking them out before they came and then they thought I was crazy, but But my 11-year-old granddaughter has started a YouTube channel. So I was like, well, let's put some of these on your YouTube channel. And she's like, no. She doesn't want me on her YouTube channel. Yes. But she'll do stuff on your YouTube channel, but not with me.
Yes.
Maybe someday when she moves.
She realizes how cool her grandma is.
That's right. That's right. When she realizes she can get more views if she says grandma in her title.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So anyways, well, thanks so much for being here. It was great.
It has been my pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.